We'll be continuing our study of the fear of God, okay? Fear of God, part two, we are going to talk about how to develop the fear of God. But what we're going to do is actually going to memorize the verse first, okay? We pray, we memorize the verse, right? I hope you have been trying at least to hide God's word in your heart, because it is through that we develop the fear of God and remember what He tells us, okay? Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Then we'll just dive in and learn what God has for us. Okay, let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that Your Holy Spirit is with us. You promised, Lord, that when two or three are gathered in Your name, there You are in the midst of them. Lord, we know that every time the church gathers, You are just right there with them. And Father, You are here to teach us through the Holy Spirit. You're here to encourage us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and You are here to strengthen us through Your word. Father, I pray that You will give us, Lord, an open heart, an open mind towards Your word. And that, Lord, it will be Your Holy Spirit, through Your grace, that will teach us those principles and Your word, Lord, that will change us into Your likeness. Humble us, Lord, to know that You have given us Your word so that we can grow. So I pray that everyone, Lord, who has a need in their lives, I pray that You will minister to it, as You ministered, Father, through the Lord Jesus, You ministered to the people who came to the synagogue, who had a withered hand, who was paralyzed, who had demon possession. I pray Your word, Lord, will free us from ourselves. We pray also for the Sunday school. Thank You that they are here. We pray that You will bless Sunday school. And I pray most of all, our children, as they grow up in this crooked and perverse generation, they might have the light of life. So we thank You as we memorize the verse. Help us to be in excited about it, and we pray that You'll be with us to teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's read together. Ready? Deuteronomy 6:13. Ready? 1, 2, go. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Thou shalt say, Lord thy God, and shalt swear by His name. Sorry, I'm confused. Okay, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and shalt serve Him, and shalt swear by His name. And when we talk about the swear by His name, simply means, what does it mean to swear by someone's name? It means you identify yourself with Him. Every decision, everything you make is always by God's name. Okay? So, okay, just a quick review of the definition of the fear of the Lord. I think most of you have written down. I'll just do a quick review. Okay? How do we define the fear of God? I was actually doing a lot of study these 2 weeks about the fear of God, and find that many people have many, not so much many definitions, but the fear of God is an attitude that a Christian has. It's an attitude that a Christian has that can be taught, but must be caught. Okay? The fear of God is an attitude that must be taught, that can be taught, but must be caught. Example, if you're a young child who just started school, okay, I'll just give you an illustration, say you must study hard, that can be taught. You can teach a child to study hard, but the child must catch the attitude of studying hard, and then he can run by himself. Does that make sense? The same way, the fear of God is an attitude of the heart that a Christian has with regards to God. Okay, so how do we define the fear of God? It is a combination of many parts of knowledge. One, we must know that we're sinners. That's a starting point. And then we know that we have been condemned. Okay, because before God, we are all condemned by our sin. But we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ when we repent of that sin and through faith in Christ, and then we receive God's kingdom, we receive His Holy Spirit in us, and then we humbly, as a result of this knowledge, we humbly submit to God, okay? Submit to God, and then serve Him acceptably with an awe and respect of who He is and what He can do to us. It always begins with the fear, the literally trembling fear of God. But you know what, there's this, I don't know whether you have read a chick track whereby there was this guy who was really pudgy and fat, and you know, he was driving, and then he was driving along, and then after he drove along, and then he saw one truck that says, Jesus Saves. And then after that, the guy just, these people are sissies and useless, and then cursing these people. And then after this big pudgy guy with his thin friend was walking along, and then there was this giant guy who was like 7 feet and full of muscles everywhere coming out. And say, hi guys, I heard you guys talking about my truck, you know. Then the guy said, oh, this guy is a giant, you know, really big. And he was afraid of the strength and the physique. But when the guy actually said, come, I'll buy you a meal, man. And when, why not, you know? So the big guy and the big fat pudgy guy who was cursing Christ, and this big guy, really 7 feet tall, big hunky muscular guy, brought him in and actually prayed and gave thanks for the food and then began to talk about Christ, and then in the end led him to Christ. And one of the questions, and one of the things, the attitude was initially, this guy was afraid of this big muscular guy. But when the big muscular guy, who can easily just punch this guy's lights out, showed love, you know, the big fat pudgy guy ended up with respect for this guy. Does that make sense? Do you understand? Do you understand that? Do you understand that? That's the kind of reverence we need to have for God. Afraid of what He can do to us, but thankful for what He has done for us. Okay? This is an attitude that the Holy Spirit must put in our hearts for Christ. Okay? And this is an important one. Any questions? Okay, we talk about, okay, to have a fear of God, some of the prerequisites, we must accept an authority figure. If you reject authorities in your life, it's a reflection that you don't actually fear the one that gave authority, okay? We must accept that this authority of the acceptance of authority figure, because it shows that you have a good knowledge that there's a God and there's a standard that you need to follow. Okay? Then you need to, as a result of that knowledge, give acceptable service. Okay, talking about pleasing God by faith, have an acceptable attitude of reverence, be willing to learn and be willing to obey. Alright? So these are the things that we talked about last week. Any questions? Okay, we're going to look at just four things, okay? How do I develop the fear of God? We're going to look at primarily at the Bible, okay? And I hope you take down notes and understand. If you read, some of you who do Bible study, you probably Google the fear of God in the Bible, in a Google. There's just hundreds of expositions about that, okay? I'm trying to distill it into just a few key passages so that we can understand. Let's turn to Psalm 34, verse 11 first. Psalm 34, verse 11 to 14. Okay, how do we develop a fear of God in our lives? How do we develop a fear of God in our lives? Okay, as you're turning there, I just want to put this point in your life. The Christian life is a journey of learning about God. Okay, it's a journey of learning about God. First, you trust Christ. Like a little child that just was born into the world, you have a mom, you have a dad. You have friends around you that take care of you. But over time, you have to begin to develop your understanding of what's happening around the world and then respond in a way that is appropriate. Okay? Some children grow up without the proper guidance. They grow up to be people who don't live by the societal expected behaviors. Okay? For example, they go and do drugs. They break their family's heart. They drink, they smoke, they do things that are not right, versus grown children who will follow the authorities, and then they go in the right path, and they get their education, they grow, they get a career, they get married, and things go smoothly. So, as a Christian, God has a pathway for us to walk, and we need to walk that pathway to be blessed in this life and to be blessed in the next, okay? So, in Psalm 34, verse 11, the psalmist says this, come ye children, hearken unto me, listen to me, listen. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The psalmist is going to teach us the fear of the Lord later on, all right? Just a few key, just if you look at this passage, number one, we need to listen. Hearken unto me. 要听话. We need to listen. We need to open our ears and open our hearts. When it comes to God's word, an open ears doesn't help alone. You need to open your heart to receive. Okay? Hearken unto me, and I will teach you. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Okay? It goes on to say, then he gave a question. So what man is he that desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? Who doesn't want a peaceful life? Who doesn't want a blessed life? That's why he says. Then in verse, so how do you have, you teach the fear of the Lord? Keep thy tongue from evil. Keep thy lips on speaking guile. Depart from evil. The first one is to reject evil. After this, we'll talk about that in detail. But the first one is to be careful what you say. Keep your tongue from evil. Okay? A person who fears God will be careful what he speaks. A person who fears God will be careful of what he says. And you don't have to speak vulgar language to be defiant of authority. It's an attitude of the heart. Okay? Keep your tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Okay? And depart from evil. That's a general phrase. The person who fears God will depart from evil. Okay? And then do good and seek peace and pursue it. Do the right things. Do good. Okay? After this, I'll talk about a little bit more. But what I'm trying to say here from this passage, can you see that the psalmist said, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord is to deal with sin. And then do the good things, the right thing, and pursue it. Okay? Any questions there? Let's look at Psalm 86, verse 11. Then after we'll go into the 4 points, the 4 practices that we need as a Christian to develop the fear of God. Okay? Psalm 86, verse 11. Okay, let's read together, right? Psalm 86, verse 11, ready? Once again, 1, 2, go. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Okay, once again, the psalmist asks, teach me thy way. Teach me. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Then unite my heart. That's an interesting phrase. Unite my heart means what? Pull everyone together in my heart. All my different influences, all my different desires, all my different ambitions, all my different things that seem to pull me in different places, Lord, unite my heart to fear your name. All right, you may be going through trials, you may be going through temptations, you may be going through struggle. You know, unite my heart, Lord, pull me into one direction to fear your name. Okay? So we're going to look at 4 things of how to develop the fear of God. There are many Christians who go through life after they become a Christian, they don't understand what it means to fear God. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 2. Okay, we've learned, let's look at Proverbs chapter 2. Number one, you must have a desire for the word. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I want to make it as practical as possible. But the Bible is very clear about certain principles in order to develop God's fear. Proverbs chapter 2. Remember, in the Christian life, it's a journey. A Christian that gets saved, God doesn't just put the fear of God. There are some passages that says, I was reading through, there are some passages that says, they will be my people and I will put my fear in their hearts. Okay? It doesn't refer to Christians. It refers to the Jewish nation during the millennium period when Jesus Christ personally comes. Okay? But in the New Testament, we have to learn the fear of God. It has to be developed as we walk with God. And I was just thinking on my way here, I was driving the children. The fear of God, in independent Baptist churches, there is this growing sense that God will zap me and then I will become spiritual. God will, because there are passages that say, I will put my fear, oh, when I spend time, God will just zap me and I just have this genuine love for God. No, it doesn't happen that way. It's a growing participation, obedience with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis so that we can actually grow. Okay? Alright? I don't think Paul gives illustrations like the athlete and the soldier for fun. He wants us to realize it's a race. Okay? So, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, I think. Let's look at the scriptures. Verse 1. There must be a desire for the word. Alright, let me read. My son, if thou will receive my word, if you welcome my word, hide my commandments with thee. That's what we're trying to do. Memorize God's word. Keep it in my heart. Hide. The word hide, thy commandments means I take what God says, I put it inside, and I'm going to make sure it's always inside me. Okay? So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom. Every time someone talks about the word of God, I'm paying attention. I won't fall asleep. I will make sure, I'm all ears. If I sleep, I wash my face, I put myself. Make sure I incline my ear unto wisdom. What is wisdom? What's the difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom? These 3 are always pandered about in Proverbs. What's the difference between that? Okay, what's knowledge? Knowledge is? Sorry? Thinking. Okay, knowledge does involve thinking. But what is knowledge? Knowing what's right and wrong. Yeah, okay, that's knowledge. Okay, so what is knowledge? Knowledge is information. 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 Example, I have a knowledge about the... Edward has a knowledge about the media stuff. He knows this is the receiver. He knows this is the speaker. He knows this is the knobs. He knows he has information. Okay? Okay? Joseph, you know there are speakers, right? Okay? So you got some information. What's understanding? What's understanding? Sorry? From learning, you get understanding from learning. But what is understanding? So you have the information already. Okay, good example. Joseph, you know that there are knots and all that, right? You know the information, right? Do you understand how it works? No. He has information, but he has no understanding. Don't worry, you and me the same. I know I need this, I don't know how it works. He does. But he understands he understands that if you do this, boom, you have to blow it down. He understands how things work. I was talking to Mr. T about his signaling system. He understands the mechanics, right? He understands the theories behind why certain things happen in a certain way. Okay? There's information, there's understanding. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? So far, it's all in the mind, isn't it? Right? Okay. When you follow God's command, it develops wisdom. But what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing, understanding why. Wisdom is doing the right thing. Wisdom is choosing and doing the right thing. After you have the knowledge, after you understand why, you actually choose and do the right thing. That's wisdom. Wisdom is all about doing. It's not about knowing. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego face the king Nebuchadnezzar, they say, we're not careful to answer in this matter. In other words, we're already chosen. And what did they choose? I'm choosing to fear God more than I fear you, king. Does that make sense? Would to God that all of us will know what God says, understand why, and then choose and do the right thing. This whole pathway is the necessary ingredient for us to make the right decisions in life. Who to marry, which career to choose, how to behave in a certain way, in school, at workplace, for your workplace, sometimes you have to ask God for wisdom. God, I know the information about the mechanics of this machine. I understand how it works, but my client tell me this, Lord, give me wisdom how to apply the correct decision. Does that make sense? So that the outcomes will be correct. Okay? Can I say that? I think many Christians short-circuit in their Christian life because they do not choose wisdom. They choose the wisdom of this world. They choose their own wisdom. They choose the wisdom of the philosophies. The Bible in Proverbs chapter 2 says we need to incline our ear to wisdom, to listen. And sometimes we may not understand the whole thing, you know. But because someone has done it before, I can actually look at the person and say, okay, I may not know everything, but because that person is doing the right thing, I know it's the right thing because it leads to this, it leads to that, I'm going to apply my heart to follow. So when young children follow their parents who are doing right, the child will become wise. Then later on, now I understand why Papa and Mama do that. Then they become wise in their life, okay? So you incline your heart to wisdom, ear to wisdom, and then apply your heart to understanding. And it's interesting, you incline your ear to wisdom first and apply your heart to understanding. In other words, okay, early in the morning when you wake up, you have to brush your teeth, right? You brush your teeth? Okay. Well, some don't. Some people are smiling at me now. So are you, huh? Okay. So, sometimes children just do. Then after a while, I said, why? And that's a very good point. Obedience is number one, but God says, don't just obey. Understand why you're obeying. Why you need to brush your teeth in the morning. Okay? Well, one reason is because you eat things and there's a lot of bacteria, you need to get rid of it, that kind of thing, right? That's why it's said to best to brush your teeth before you sleep. And I know people who, after they brush their teeth, they will not eat. Okay, no matter how tasty it is, because they have the knowledge that they have to keep their oral hygiene. Okay, anyway, in Proverbs chapter 2, applying the heart to understanding. In other words, when you don't understand the Bible, find out why. Find out why. Many Christians, when they don't understand, they just close the Bible and walk off. Don't. Find out why. Ask questions. Wait some more. Why is the Bible saying this? Why did Moses do this? Why? Ask why. It's okay to ask. The Bible has the answer, by the way. You have to ask. Because it reflects a desire. If you don't ask, it shows that you have no desire. Okay? And then, in verse number 4, Proverbs 2 verse 4, if thou wilt seek for her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure. In other words, you apply, I think in the US, you talk about the gold rush, you know, people go there, you know, they'll come for weeks and months just to find a bit of gold, but they will really intend, they're sweating under the hot sun, they pen, hey, got no gold. Hey, no, hey, gold! And they try to, you know, when you look for something, you really give your heart to it. Okay? When you will put in the effort to understand God's word and seek for her like treasure. Okay? Catherine, what's the most important thing for you in your life? Think. Okay, God is the most, thank God. But what, like, material, what's something that you feel very attached to? Phone. Yeah? Phone, right? Okay, what if one day your phone's missing? What will you do? You use a laptop. Why, that's fast. Okay, let's say there's no laptop. Only the phone. Of course, you got replacements. But you would search it, be searching for your phone, right? How many of you would search for your phone sometimes? Yeah. I need to. For me, my most important thing when I get out is my glasses. I can't see. I can't see. And you say, hey, where's my glasses? It was one time put it, I was sleeping on my glass. Bam! You know, all turned already. It's all bent. But when you put in the effort to find, it shows that you have a desire. The thing actually is so important to you, you have to find it. We need to treat God's word like that, okay? Guess what, in verse 5. After you have received God's word, you have preserved it in your heart, you have inclined your ear, you apply your heart to understanding, you seek for her as treasure, verse 5. Then, and only then, shall thou understand the fear of the Lord. Number one, you need a desire for God's word. You need a desire for God's word. To seek for God's word. In the internet, if you look, there are many, many strategies. But when you look at the Bible is very clear. In order to develop a fear of God in our lives, we need to have a strong, strong desire to know God's word. A desire for the word. Any questions? Yes. Okay. The question is it true that older believers have more wisdom than the younger believers? It depends on how you define wisdom. If you define worldly wisdom, yes, they got more experience in the world. But the worldly wisdom may not be God's wisdom. Because there are many older, so-called mature Christians today who are not in church, and they are 50, 60 years old. They're not in church. Why? God's wisdom is, I obey God first, and I'll be in church. But they're choosing not to. Is that wisdom? Remember, information about God, understanding what is right and wrong, and choosing what is right, and then doing what is right. That's wisdom. God is very clear. That's why when you fear God, it's the beginning of wisdom. It helps you. I hope you understand that. So, one of the hard things, the Bible also teaches us that just because you're older in the faith, older in terms of years, number of years, doesn't mean we are wiser. That's very scary. When I hit 60 years old, I hope I'll be biblically wise, not just wise. You see, I've got so much experience as a pastor, you need to do this. And so what? Actually, the people don't need my wisdom, they need God's wisdom. But if they can see my life representing God's wisdom, it might be easier for them to follow. Do you know what I mean? So that's why as fathers, God's wisdom, in just because you do a lot, just because you are many years as a Christian, doesn't automatically translate to wisdom. And this is something that we... That's why there was this song many years ago about fat babies. You know fat babies? They drink, but they don't do anything. So we got a fat baby. They do, in other words, they got a lot of input, but they're not growing. It is possible, by the way, you can see in church for 30 years and still not grow. And that's a scary thing. But that's why, you see, the practice, it says, Solomon says, if you will welcome, in other words, something is happening, you will welcome God's word. You will incline your ear. Say, hey, got Bible study, I must go. Oh, hey, I don't understand it. Hey, I got Chinese, what does it mean? Oh, like that. Yes, you don't understand. Hey, hold on. Oh, now I understand. And it becomes part and parcel of your life to find out what God wants you to do. And the Holy Spirit in you, He will teach you too. He will teach you a lot of things if you would incline your ear. Okay? Singapore is very busy. But you know what? If you're desiring God's word, you will find time. You will find time to find God's word. Right? Any questions? All right, the first one. Number two, you must be daily in the word. If you have a desire, naturally you'll be daily in the word. If you cry for it, let's look at Joshua 1:8. Okay, that's a very popular, familiar verse, Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1 verse 8. Ready? Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Okay? So you have desire for the word. By the way, this is God's commandment to Joshua. This word will not depart from your mouth. You will talk about it day and night. You talk about it day and night. And I want us to catch this. The reason why God wanted Joshua to meditate on God's word day and night, because as he fights, he must remember, number one, he's representing God. Number two, and therefore God's mind must be in his heart when he's fighting God's battles. When we live the life in this world, we are supposed to do God's will, right? We cannot do God's will if God's word is not constantly in our mind. If we do not understand what God's will is, we will make the wrong decisions. Okay? And we will develop an attitude that says, I don't need God. Besides, for some Christians, coming to church is not a priority at all. Let me ask you, is going to the synagogue a priority for Jesus? You think about that. Is going to the synagogue a priority for Jesus? It was his habit. Luke 4:16. Was Jesus' priority to be baptized? He went to find John the Baptist. He baptized me. Because that's part of what God has said. I need to follow what God says. It's a priority. You know what? Jesus had a fear of God. And God was his father. His heavenly father. Okay, you must be daily in the word. Christians, can I encourage you, no matter how busy you are, you need to find time to study and meditate on God's word. Don't just read the daily bread. Daily bread is someone's digested thinking on what the word of God says. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like when you feed a young child, maybe 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, they start to being able to take a bit of semi-solid food, right? So what do? Last time we did with our children. Of course, they don't know. Now they know. We will take the carrot, put it in our mouth, make it when it's very, very soft, take it out from our mouth and give it to our children. That's the RPG. That is the devotionness you get. You know what it tells me? That even senior Christians are using that, it means that they are babes in Christ. They are babies in Christ. To grow in the knowledge of God, we need to be able to be daily in the Word, searching the Word for what it is. And it's important, because otherwise we will not grow in our fear of God. It must be daily in the Word, right? Number three, there must be the practice of daily obedience. Let me give you some passages. Okay, just disturb this group. Joseph, you turn to Psalm 86, verse 11. Then Jairus, you turn to John 7, 17. Then Brother Joshua Clark, you can go to Psalm 111 and verse 10. And then Brother Aldrin, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. And then Brother Gideon, you can turn to Jeremiah 2:19. Okay, no, we all turn to Jeremiah 2:19. Okay, so the four passages from the brethren, okay? Talking about the practice of daily obedience, okay? Then I will actually practicalize it. What do we need to do, actually? Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. The word walk means to live. I will live in your truth. When I wake up in the morning, I will pray and ask you to fill my heart. I will walk in your truth, Lord. When I go to the MRT, it's so squeezy and North South Line breakdown. I will not curse. I will not grumble. I will not scold MRT. I will pray for them that they will have wisdom. This is against human nature. Okay. I think someone was saying that once the North South Line breakdown, they go to the website and a lot of people, I think it was Brad Jacob yesterday was teaching once the, I think, was it talking about North South Line? Yeah, talking about when the MRT breakdown. And then he wanted to go to the Facebook and whatever to see all the comments for all the XYZ crap, you know, tic-tac-toe, you know, basically all the, they're just cursing MRT. But you know what? As a Christian, if we know God's way, Lord, I will walk in your truth. And who said, let no corrupt communication come out from your mouth. And so, Lord, I want to pray for the MRT people. I'm going to pray, Lord, I know these servicemen, they are trying their best. Lord, help me to have patience, Lord. Help me to be, Lord, I know I'm late for my appointment and my boss is not going to be happy. But Lord, thank you that it happened. I have a reason because MRT breakdown. I'm stuck there, Lord. Please deliver me. I will walk in thy ways. I will walk in thy truth. Your truth, no corrupt communication should come out from my mouth. I will walk in it. I will say, Lord, I'm not going to curse and swear. Oh God, forgive me that I think evil of the servicemen who are not doing their job. I'm saying this. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Because after learning God's truth, I will walk in it. And best I need to walk in God's truth, not just know God's truth. I think we have enough Bible to sustain us for a lifetime. I think it was Charles Wesley or John Wesley who said, I'm not concerned about the passages I don't know. I'm concerned about the passages I do understand and not doing. Okay? Number one, active obedience. I will walk. I will live my life in your truth. John chapter 7, 17. If any man will do his will, then he shall know the doctrine. Brother Johnny, I don't understand. Well, then obey first. Obey first. That is not the Singapore thinking. Singapore thinking, you see in tutorial, understand everything that you do. No, God says you do first, then you understand. Obedience always leads to understanding. That's Hebrew wisdom. That's why, for Joshua, when he went into the promised land, how did he conquer the promised land? How did he conquer the Jericho? Walk one round around the walls. Day one. Can you imagine what the commander said? Joshua, are you sure? No, actually, I believe the attitude of the commander said, Joshua, whatever you say, we'll do. As long as you follow God. And Joshua said, all right, you follow me. That's what God says. Let's walk around. Okay, let's walk around. One time. And by the way, when they walk around the walls, if I'm not wrong, is between 2 to 8 kilometers. So every day they just walk. And the last day they walk 7 times. If one round is 2 kilometers, 7 times is what? 15 kilometers. But you know what? They just followed. Guess what? Trumpet blow, the wall came down. Why? Because Joshua followed God. I don't understand God asking me to walk round and round But Lord, because it's your word, I'll do it. And then understand. Do you realize, apparently, archaeological findings found that of all the walls of Jericho that fell down, there was one part that did not fall down. Do you know what was that part? The part that Rahab lived in. Coincidence? No, God. God. That's one of the hardest things of the Christian life today in Singapore. Singaporeans live a lot by sight. God says we need to live by faith. We're going over to a new place. We need to live by faith. We ask God to fill that place. That's why when we meditate on God's word, we need to walk in it. That's faith. Okay? Psalm 111, verse 10. Okay, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that. That? Do. If you don't understand God's word, what do you have to do? Obey. This is in the Bible, guys. I think we all know it. We all know it. I'm praying that we will look at God's word and say, Lord, if that's what you said, we're going to do it. For his praise and endures forever. All right? 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Okay, we have all these promises of God's... what was the promise that God says? In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 to 16, be not unequally of non-believers, then I will have righteousness, do unrighteousness, while I conquer Belial with Christ, I'll come out of her, and I will be your God, you will be my children. Okay, that's a promise. God says, if you put all these things away, you're going to be my children. I'm going to bless you. And then, in 7 verse 1, having therefore these promises that God's going to receive us, let us get rid of sin. And perfect holiness. You know, the idea of perfect holiness in the fear of God, it means this. I was just reading, you know, in the Old Testament, New Testament, the fear of God is a theme that goes through the Old and New. Theme means something that goes through Old and New Testament. One of the themes of the Old Testament is fear of God. You know what's the fear of God? They tremble. They tremble. Meaning that they're so scared of what God can do. Literally, remember when who's Samson's father? What's his name? Manoah, right? Manoah, okay? So Manoah said, oh, you see God, we're going to die, remember? In the Old Testament Jews know, you see God, you're going to die. Exodus 33, verse 20. But you know what? The wife said, look, if you see God, you die, you're dead by now. But God has a plan. But in the New Testament, the fear of God is slightly different. Remember, I gave you the initial illustration of this big giant mug guy? The fear of God in the New Testament is, I know what God can do to me, but I know what God has done for me. My fear is right now mingled with fear and deep respect and love. And because I love him and what he has done for me, God, I'm going to perfect holiness by getting rid of sin in my life. Does that make sense? The motivation for dealing with sin is a reverence for God. And how much you love him. Okay? So this is what it means here in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. Jeremiah 2:19, I think we're all there. I just read. This is one reason why many in Israel during that time, Jeremiah's time, it was full of backsliders, people who hate God. But in Jeremiah 2:19, it's interesting. Jeremiah said, Thy own wickedness shall correct thee. And thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee. The reason why the Jewish people rejected God, because they lost respect for God. They lost respect. Maybe God has blessed them too much. How many of you know why God had to judge Israel for 70 years. Remember in the Babylonian captivity, why? Anyone knows? Because? So God has commanded, Leviticus, I believe, after 7 years, After the 6 years, the seventh year, you are supposed to fallow the ground. You know, leave the ground to let it regrow again. Okay? And we know what God says? For you to do that, I'm going to bless you double four on the sixth year. So you don't have to work on the seventh year. How many of you like that? Brother Aldwin, you work 6 years already, long service. Next year, you don't have to come to work. I pay your whole year's salary. You go back to Philippines. Amen? I see he's smiling already. Good deal. But you know what? After God had blessed them twofold, the seventh year, the Israelites said, no, I'm going to use it again. Why? They were thinking of themselves. And so, you know how long God waited for? 490 years. They did not repent. God says, that's enough. Your backsliding will reprove you. You know what? Over time, the lust of their flesh became stronger than the respect for God. That they put God up. That's why God says in Jeremiah 2:19, thy own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see there is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. You know what Israel did? They walk away from God. God doesn't walk away from his people. Amen? You know, when you're lost in your Christian life, God hasn't left you. You walked away from God. Happens all the time. And you know, it's because, actually, the thing is very simple. Basically, we put something else in the place of God. We're just loving something else in the place of God. It could be your career, it could be your money, it could be your whatever. You just put God out. It could be your studies. Okay? And that my fear is not in you. The word not in the Hebrew, complete negative, I believe. In other words, you have no respect for me. You have no respect for me. When you have no respect for God, that's why we live in the way we live, all right? Especially today's society. And then saith the Lord of hosts, okay? Practice of daily obedience involves two things when we walk in the truth. Number one, there must be an active rejection of sin. Active rejection of sin. Not just sitting down and say, yeah, I know it's wrong. Actually say, no, I'm going to walk away from it. I'm going to do all I can to put things aside so that I don't do. Okay, Proverbs 8, verse 13. Maybe I just shift this side. Maybe Catherine, you can turn to Proverbs 8, 13. Joanna, you can turn to Psalm 34, and verse 13. Then we'll all turn to Job 28, verse 28. Proverbs 8, 13. Okay, the fear of the Lord is to, number one, hate evil. You know what it means to hate evil? To choose not. Hate. Put it away. Detest. Hate it. So when you see a child, like, you know, there was one time I saw this, I think I shared before, and Ang Mo Kio, this child, 6-year-old, screaming and shouting, and the dad actually had to literally carry the child out of the MRT station. This is a Caucasian. Screaming and shouting, and the child just deserved a big spanking. In the sense of, the idea is not so much to put down the child, but you need to hate disobedience. When someone tells a vulgar joke in your workplace, you need to say, hey, I wish, there was one time I told a friend was saying this in the army, and I said, hey, you know, I wish I get some essay and wash your mouth. You know? No, you actually tell the person it's wrong. I mean, it's a fun way, I don't want to offend him, but you know, if he continues in it, say, sorry guys, I'm leaving. There must be an active rejection of sin. Because God says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's a verb. It's an action word. Fathers, we need to hate the sin in our families. You need to hate the kind of TV your children watch. You need, young Christians, you need to hate the type of music you listen to that is not in line with God. So you need to hate evil. Hate it. I was just reading a discussion today that says that, is it a sin to watch G or PG rated movies? And this is Independent Baptist discussing it. The whole spirit of the movie is anti-God. There's violence, there's immorality, there's soft pornography. We need to reject it. We need to hate it. We need to hate the spirit and the philosophy that comes behind it. We need to hate it. The fear of the Lord is to put this aside. An athlete running for gold will not touch a Big Mac unless he's prepared to run, train another 5 more hours to get rid of it. Agree? When Joseph Schooling and all these people who go for the Olympic gold and want to break records, they don't want to touch junk food. Why? not because they don't like it. They're going for gold. But to have the fear of God is to hate evil. And God says what? Pride. What's pride? Pride is all about myself. Arrogancy. Arrogance. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate what God hates. Okay? We need to actively reject sin. Psalm 34 verse 13. Okay? We need to actively be careful of what we say. Because what we say reflects our attitude. That's what the Bible says. We need to be careful. When we fear God, we need to hate sin. There's an active rejection. Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Okay? In Job 28, verse 28, let me just read. Okay, I hope you're all there. Job 28, verse 28. Is someone supposed to read? No, right? Job 28, verse 28, I read. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. You know, an indication that you have the word, that you have the fear of God. Evidence that you have the will of God is that you are systematically cutting out sin in your life. If you don't cut out sin in your life, you have no fear of God. Rejection of God's commandments and what is right. Because that's what the Bible says, the fear of the Lord. And behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, yes. And to depart from evil is you understand who God is. And so if someone steals, you cannot steal. Not because you hate the person, but hey, God says cannot steal. You contend with that person. Today we are, you know what we are doing today with sin? We're accepting it too much. We're accepting it too much. We need to identify sin for what it is and deal with it for what it is. Because sin nailed Jesus to the cross. And you cannot convince me to compromise with sin, although I do. But if my Savior had to die for sin, and he appointed me to be the pastor to deal with sin, then I thought, you died for it. I need to honor you by dealing with it. You know, every Christian have their responsibility to their Savior. God took us out of sin to put us on a higher plane. The sad thing is many Christians are going down to play the toys of sin again. And worse still, we don't care about it. You know why? It's too late, Jay. It will hurt feelings. How do you think God feels? Maybe change your perspective. How do you think God feels in heaven when we sin against him? Does it matter to you? If it doesn't matter to us that we sin, we have no fear of God. The Ambassador Baptist Church, we need to grow in the fear of God for God's blessings to come of us. It's a deep reverential respect and love for God to the point that I'll hate sin. I'll hate the things that come through the hand. I'm going to put it away. I'm going to destroy it. We're watching a Christian movie yesterday talking about parasites in a person's life. The parasites will give you pleasure, but it will destroy your life. We need to destroy the parasites. What is a parasite in your life? You need to destroy it. When you start to fear God, you need to push it out. You will push out the sin in your life. Number one, there must be active rejection of sin. Proverbs 3 verse 7, let me just read. Don't be wise. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't try to reason your ways. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In other words, you know what this means for children? You know, for children, for us, we're all children, we're children of God. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't rationalize the way that you're living. Fear the Lord and depart from sin. Yes, there will be consequences sometimes. Yes, you will lose things sometimes. Yes, you may forfeit a promotion sometime. But rather get promoted by God than by men. Okay? And that's something that Singaporeans need to deal with, and as Christians, we need to deal with. We need to love God more. And the things of this world is not important to us. I'm not saying the things of this world doesn't help us, like money and career. I'm not saying that. Please don't misunderstand me. I think we need to make a priority and therefore make the right decisions. That's wisdom. Okay? So number one is active rejection of sin. And number two, active obedience in the right way. Okay? In Psalm 34, verse 14, let me just read because of time. The Bible says, depart from evil and do good. There must always be a replacement. Don't just live sin, do the right thing. Okay? Don't just live sin, do the right thing. Active obedience in the right way. Okay? Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. In other words, do the right thing. You know, as I was thinking through there, I realized it's quite interesting because in Psalm 34, 11, 13, and 14, it talks about righteousness. When you keep your mouth from evil, you're doing what is right. Right? If you don't say things, if you say things not in a vulgar way, but you're saying in a nice way, in a purposeful way, you're doing the righteous thing. And God says, depart from evil and do good. Once again, be righteous. Basically, the whole concept, biblical truth is, if you want to fear the Lord, you will love righteousness. You know that correlated the verse in Matthew 6:33, which says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and here's what? Righteousness. No fear of God simply means putting God first and loving what He loves and doing what He does. Okay? In Acts chapter 10, verse 35, let's all turn there. Okay, maybe people on my left turn to Acts 10, 35, people on my right, 1 John 2:29. Okay? Active obedience in doing the right thing. And I'll give you some examples afterwards. Okay, Acts chapter 10 and verse 35, this is in the New Testament. Okay? Ready? Acts 10, 35. Ready? 1, 2, go. Every nation, he that feareth God and doeth righteousness. In the context of Acts 10, it's the salvation of Cornelius. Righteousness means that anything that's in line with God's word. So Cornelius, although he was of the Italian band, he was actually a Gentile, but he accepted the God of Israel. He accepted the salvation that was given to him from the God of Israel. The Bible says, in every nation, he that feareth God and doeth, consistent with that faith, is accepted of God. Okay, if as a pastor, I lead the church in my own way, and the church can grow to 10,000, it's not accepted with God. I may use CCM, I may use all kinds of rock music, the kind of thing, and try to bring the people in. God's not pleased. God is rejecting that sacrifice. Okay, that here, 1 John 2:29. Ready? 1, 2, go. I hope that convicts all our heart. If you know that He's righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. The evidence of our life with God is our righteous, active obedience. He that doeth righteousness, he that makes the right decisions, is born of Him. Emma will always carry the characteristics of the parents. Our children will always carry our characteristics. They always look like us. They will think like us sometimes. They will talk like us sometimes. Although they're all individuals. But like it or not, their DNA comes through. The question we need to ask ourselves, are we doing righteousness or are we sinning? If you're born of God, you will do righteousness. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, you may stumble and fall, but you know what? A person that truly is born of God will always go back to true north, will always go back to the righteousness. You know, that's our hope. If our children are truly saved, they'll come back to God. If they're not, they're going to hell. And the trend of their life is a scary thing. Okay, we'll preach on that another time. I intend to go through systematically faith of the Christian faith when I go to a new place, systematically in simple terms. So why saving faith and why discipleship and all that, so that for us we will have no misunderstanding about what it all means. Okay? So, but let's turn to Psalm 119. Okay? Active obedience in the right. Okay? When I talk about active obedience in the right, means what? When you turn to Psalm 119, then I'll just give you some illustrations of active obedience. If I know it's wrong to steal, I won't do it, but I'll go and work. Alright? If I know it's right to obey my parents, I'll obey my parents. I may not like it, I may not feel like it, I'll still do it. That's active obedience. Okay? For those who came in late, I'm saying that the fear of God can be taught, but must be caught. I say again, the fear of God in the journey of the Christian life can be taught, but must be caught. must be caught. And the onus is on parents to actually have a trend of life that is consistent with the fear of God. So your teaching backs up, sorry, your life backs up your teaching. So your child may actually reject you, but he cannot reject your testimony. That is so powerful that in the end he'll catch the fear of God. Does that make sense? And I think one of the key things that we need to learn in terms of imparting the fear of God, yes, it's their responsibility, but parents, our responsibility is to pave a way of fiery obedience to God. An absolute, consistent, 100% given to God type of obedience. And no excuses. And we're willing to make the sacrifices to honor God. If our children don't see us making sacrifices for God, your children will not make sacrifices for God and will not fear God and will not make God the priority in your life. Okay? Psalm 119 gives us a little bit of picture into that. Psalm 119 verse 63. I'll just read that. The Bible says, I'm a companion of all them that fear him, fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The psalmist said this, I'm a friend of the people. The companion is someone that walks alongside you all the time. And psalmist says, I'm a companion. I like to be friends with those people who have a respect for God. Question for you, who is your best friends? Who are your best friends? Really, who are your best friends? Because your best friend will decide whether you fear God or not. In a sense of the influence. If all you do with your friends is to listen to rock music, K-pop, and go movies, you think you have a fear of God? No. Let's not deceive ourselves. If our best friend is a non-believer, it's not gonna turn your heart toward God. If your best friend is money, and you hang around, you like to socialize with a network of bankers and all that, so you're not gonna develop fear of God. Your best friend ought to be a Christian, a growing godly Christian. And parents, sometimes I'm sad that when children and teens work is done, and teens workers and children will put in their effort to teach, and we don't bring our children to those meetings. No wonder our children love the world more than things of God. And the Bible says, I'm a companion. The psalmist David actually is wanting to illustrate to them, I'm a companion. No wonder I'm a companion of those that fear you and keep your commandments. No wonder David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because his companions were people who fear God. You know what? When David got confronted by Prophet Nathan, what was his response? Nathan, you're right. I'm wrong. I need to confess to God. I want to challenge us. To develop that fear of God is daily, every day, spending time with God's Word. There is no substitute for it. To see and meditate on God and then to obey what God says, even though it will cost you. Yesterday, there was a question asked of the youth. Brother Janine, I asked a question. We're talking about forgiveness. And the question that was asked was, what if someone says, or rather ask a question, why is it hard to forgive someone sometimes? Why is it hard to forgive someone? Adults, come. I gave them the answer already. Why is it hard to forgive sometimes? Okay, pride. Yeah, definitely. One of them is pride. What else? Sorry? Hurt, okay. Hurt. Pride, hurt, okay. There's one category after we talk about it. What else? Huh? The youth, you're going to answer it. But why? Why is it hard to forgive? Hurt and pride, who is in the center of those feelings? Self. And the hardest thing that people cannot forgive, you know what? It will cost you to forgive. I'll give you an example. I punched Gideon in the nose. It breaks into two, like the Red Sea. And then the red blood come out. Okay? Wow, then Brother Odin, hey, Pastor, how can you do that? Then he ships him to the hospital. Okay? And then major operation because the breathing all affected already. Then I come. And I, again, sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Gideon can have two responses. Either he said, you lousy good for nothing, or he said, Brother Johnny, it's okay. It's okay. You know, when Gideon chooses the second response, you know what it cost him? Medical expenses, pain. But he still chose. That means the hurt and whatever is at the side already. He's putting God's principles first. Forgive, and he shall be forgiven. When we go down the track of feeling hurt and all that, we are being selfish. I'm not saying that you will not be hurt by offenses. Please don't get me wrong. That's why God teaches us, when you get angry, do what? Deal with it. Deal with it. If you don't deal with it, it goes down the next day, the devil actually entrenches you deeper and deeper into bitterness and becomes a sin. And guess who it hurts? It hurts you. We can use the word I'm hurt. You know who is in the center of that? I. When Jesus Christ was crucified, was he hurt? You know what he was? He was hurt physically. You know he was hurt by his friends? The Bible says for all of them forsook him. What do you think Jesus felt? You were poured your life out for the disciples. And at the end, when you most need him, everyone fled. Sometimes let's think of how our Savior felt when we think we are hurt. What do you think Jesus did? You know what he did? Father, forgive them. You know why Jesus was not thinking of himself? In the fear of God, you have and I have to put self out of the picture. That's the beginning of discipleship. If all we are thinking of is our hurts, if all we're thinking of what we want, we're nothing but a selfish bunch of Christians. I'm sorry. As pastor, I need to tell you that we are selfish because we put self first rather than God. But the fear of God, when we put God where he belongs, when God sits down here, every one of us is well-dressed, well-prepared to hear God's word all the time. We come early. We make it a point to be punctual because we respect God. That's the fear of God. Punctuality, Christian, is something that it must be respected because God is punctual. And if you deeply respect God, you'll be here on time. And you will have a prepared heart for God. We cannot say we're Christians, but our life is like, Tida Apa, do what we want. No, that means there's no standard in your life. You say you're Christians. It sounds like a scolding. As pastor, I hope you accept that from someone who cares for you. Because the trend of your life with regards to your church is reflected in your family. We need to do right. And that's why the fear of God is so important. Through fear of God, we depart from evil. We go away from what is wrong. And we say, no, I don't feel like getting up early, but you know, God, I love you. And for what you've done, I'll be there on time. You know, we need to put God, the fear of God back in our hearts, all right? I just need to tell you that the fear of God is something that I can teach, but it must be caught. I can't force you to fear God. You need to fear God. You need to put God where he belongs, right on the throne of your heart. If Jesus lived in your house today, would you be early? If Jesus lived in your house 24 hours, 7 days a week, would you do half the things that you do? Would you talk the way you talk? No, right? Guess what? If you're a Christian, he does. He lives in your house. And that's why I'm saying, the more you spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ, you begin to realize who he is, his holiness, his justice, his love, his strength. It helps us to develop that fear that causes us to go away from evil and do what is wrong. And it is something that I'm praying that all of us would develop the fear of God, because our church will not be strong when we do not have the fear of God in our lives. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 30. Just two more verses, then I'll close your memory, brother. Right? Acts chapter 9, verse 31. I'll just read, okay? Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. The churches had rest all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. We need the fear of God for your own personal life, for the strengthening of your family, and for the winning of souls. Okay? Your memory verse will be in Job chapter 28, verse 20. Any questions? I want to challenge us to be punctual. Challenge us to be punctual. Let's put God first. Okay, I'm going to help you get in the new place. Hopefully we'll start our service at 10:30 with the kind of thing, all right? In the new place, but, you know, we can help, but the help comes from your own hearts. We need to put first things first, okay? Those in the youth camp, we need to put first things first. Let's put the fear of God in our life. Next week, we talk about what are some of the evidences of when you have the fear of God, so that at least for yourself, you can actually have an indicator checklist whether or not the fear of God in our hearts. I think more or less some of us will already know. I want to encourage us. These are things that have to be said. To honor God, these are some very clear evidences. That when the fear of God is in a family, husband and wife will always be together. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. In other words, God's first place. And the way to be first place is both need to fear God. And then you come together. You know, sometimes one fear God, one doesn't. Sometimes it will never meet. It will never meet. Okay? We need a fear of God in our lives. All right, let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful for the people who are listening. But I'm praying that your Holy Spirit will help us. Help us, Lord, to have that fear of God in our lives because we love you. And God, there's just some things in our lives that we have to deal with. I'm praying for Ambassador to grow in the fear of God because your word teaches that again and again. So I pray you bless the service to follow. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.